Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. It is our 9 o'clock hour, and I am honored and thrilled to have I'm just going to say it straight up. Even though he was the Mets GM, Al, there is simply nobody in sports who is better at taking you inside the mind of a GM than MLB Network's Jim Duquette, and it is our pleasure to have him on the show right now. Hi, Jim.
Angelo, how are you? How you been this morning?
Jim, I love you, love your work, and we are in crisis here in Philadelphia. We need your help.
Yes.
To a person in this city, no one can stand our manager, Gabe Kapler. When you are the GM and you know the whole city doesn't like your manager, how do you react?
Well, that's not a good sign, obviously. I think you're trying not to make decisions based off of what the public thinks. But I think what's more important is how they feel around the clubhouse, how the players feel about them. Generally, the fans have a pretty good idea of the feeling around the club, too. So it's, that part of it is kind of tricky because we're not in there. But you do see reactions, to certain moves or when he comes out to the mound or what have you. And I think, listen, you guys saw it too last year. His the first season was a little bit rocky. And, he's had relationship when he was in L.A. as their, one of their executives, he had some confrontations along the way that didn't work out very well. And so it's hard to know for sure what the feeling is in there, but I think that you do pay attention to the public perception. And if there is a problem there, you got to figure out a way, if it's fixable, if there's a way for him to be able to do a little bit better publicly.
All right, here's what I need you to help us with, Jim, because you as a GM ultimately have to make a decision where you think you don't have the right manager,
right?
We have a guy who last year, as a first-year manager in Major Leagues, with 1 year of managing experience in his entire background, the team collapses at the end of the year.
Right.
This year, they add all these star players, and they're way underachieving. Now they're in fourth place, not in the wild card. Somebody goes to Andy McPhail, the president, and he wants to know, the status, what their thinking is right now on Gabe Kapler. Listen to what he said.
Honestly, I hate to even dignify that question with an answer. We're in the postseason today, if the season was over.
That's driving us nuts, Jim.
Right.
Because the guy has not succeeded here whatsoever, and we're not sure he's being held accountable for his failure.
It's a good point. I would say this. You do have to wait to see how the rest of the season goes, there's no doubt. But I do think with him, and you saw it last year with the way the team collapsed down the stretch, there's that age-old question, and we used to go through it even in the front office. All right, is this the manager's fault, or is it a personnel fault? And sometimes the answer, if you're looking at yourself in the mirror, it's really the roster that was constructed. Sometimes it's both, but sometimes it's what you put together for the manager, too. So it's tricky when you're there. If you're Klentak or Andy McPhail, you start pointing the finger, and they've already made a change with one of their managers before, as we know with McCannon.
Yeah.
You hire a Kapler, and all of a sudden you make a change with Gabe after two seasons, and now the target is squarely on yourself, too. So I think that's the balancing act that they're trying to give the whole season a full evaluation of it before they make a final decision. But if they were to have a bad continue on this bad course, because they're playing like 7-under since June 1st, then I wouldn't be surprised if they made a change.
All right, but what I'm curious about is you said that the GM is also evaluating himself, right?
Yeah, he should be.
Ultimately, though, you're more likely to get rid of the manager than yourself, right, Jim?
Well, right. That's always the part that you have access to the owner, right? That's the way the structure is. Obviously, baseball is the general manager, the president have access to the owner more often than the manager does, and the manager, of course, reports to him. So your ability to convince the owner that a change has to be made at least one time, you have usually it's one shot. Sometimes you have two. If you're a good salesman. And you're an experienced executive like Andy is, you're going to have maybe a little bit more leeway with the owner. But after a certain period of time, when you make a couple of changes and the team's still not better, and you're still seeing a lot of the same mistakes, then the focus comes on the front office. And that's where it gets a little trickier from the ownership side, because he put a lot of trust in those guys to build a winning team.
I'm glad you took us to ownership, because we're all trying to read John Middleton's mind right now, Jim. And here's the thing. Sunday night baseball, Alex Rodriguez is doing a game. And there's a 3-1 count. And in that moment, Rodriguez says, walk Pilar, pitch to Crawford. He's struggling. Right. He's managing in the moment.
Right.
Next pitch, triple. Phillies lose the game. Makes Kapler look terrible. And then he says, that was careless managing and a mistake by Kapler.
Right.
Does that have an impact on the people watching? Does it have an impact on the owner of the team when you're on the national stage and that happens?
Well, here's the thing. It should. You know, I think, you know, when I was watching the game, and you knew that Crawford, I think, was the next batter. He's been struggling.
Right.
And then you see Gabe's comments afterwards saying, well, that was the matchup we wanted versus Pilar. And you see it doesn't go that way. I think you're sitting there understandably scratching your head wondering why did they think that matchup was it, right? So you have to dig a little bit deeper. That's where it's hard from the ownership side, because you're not down there every single day. You're watching it every day, but you're not down there hearing the decision-making. But you're seeing enough of that, right? You're seeing enough of those type of decisions over the course of the season that would make you wonder if it's obvious to Alex Rodriguez, who's not around the team every day, should be obvious to the front office, and it should be obvious to Gabe Kapler. So, yeah, I think the one thing it was tricky, because when I was in the front office, you can question every single night two or three or four manager moves and be right half the time. In the moment, you know, and with the numbers that you have, you know, a lot of times you have to go to the manager and back the manager in his decision. However, when you see that type of mistake over and over, that's when it becomes, I think, realistic that you got to make a move.
All right. Your big responsibility when you were GM was to build a roster. Look at that Phillies roster right now, Jim, and tell me if you think it's better than two games over 500, fourth place in the NL East.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Oh, you don't?
I don't.
Wow.
I don't. I tell you, here's why. I'll tell you. It might be a little bit better, but it's not a lot better. And I'll tell you why I don't feel this way. I think even going back to last year, I think you and I talked about this the last time I came on. If the team thought the starting pitching was going to be good enough this year off of the way the team pitched in the second half last year, I think it was ill-advised. A couple of starters in particular fell apart. Most of them fell apart. And Nola had a tremendous year. So then you go into this winter, where'd they spend all of their money? They spent it pretty much on the offensive side, which, by the way, has been pretty inconsistent, as you've seen.
Right.
But they didn't improve materially. They didn't improve themselves very much defensively, and their starting rotation was about the same. So I thought it was a flawed team coming in, and yeah, it might be a little bit better than what they've done, but I don't view it as a whole lot better, at least in my mind.
Well, then what you're telling us is the focus should be every bit as much on the GM as it is on the manager, Jim? Is that what you're telling us?
I think that, yes, in this particular situation, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. If you look at certain metrics that I used to look at in the front office in terms of, you know, what do you expect from your team versus where you are right now? They've actually played a little bit above when you look at how many runs they've scored, what runs that they've allowed. They've played surprisingly better than they should. Their record should be under 500. They're being outscored by, what is it, about 30 runs on the season, a little over 30 runs. So, yeah, I think that points to a flawed roster as well. And, you know, I mean, if you look at their some of their moves that they've made this winter or this summer, Dickerson and Bruce have been the two main ones, but they've added complementary pieces throughout the roster, and it's been kind of a ho-hum type of additions to the roster. So, and this was a team that I felt like needed a little bit more impact at the deadline. They really kind of sat it out. So, yeah, I think it's a combination of both the manager and the front office and from the mistakes right now.
Hey, Jim, one last one, and I'm going to have to ask you to generalize because you don't know John Middleton enough to understand what might be going on behind closed doors. But when an owner puts out almost $500 million in commitments in contracts and the team isn't much better, is there behind the scenes a lot of give and take between the ownership and the people he put in place? What is that like?
So, well, when that kind of money is put out, you expect better results. I think that's fair. And again, the ownership has a reputation of, you know, being basically no nonsense. You know, he, in his mind, put his money where his mouth was and expected a team. And by the way, the conversations he was having with his front office was, hey, if we get this player, where do you see us, you know, in the standings? Do you see us being a playoff team? The answer is yes,
yep,
when you spend that kind of money. So, yeah, there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of questions that should be being asked. I'm sure they are. And I can assure you it's not a lot of fun to have to go through those conversations with an unhappy owner. So, yeah, I think that it's fair to – even if none of us know John Middleton, I think you can expect that he's asking some pretty difficult questions of the front office.
Jim Duquette, I told you, there's nobody getting you inside the front office mind better than Jim Duquette, MLB Network. Jim, it's an honor. Thank you so much for coming out with us.
Thanks for having me, buddy. All right. See you.
Is that good stuff or what? Al, he's not pointing a finger just at Kaplan.
No.
He's saying, based on the roster, they're probably not much better anyway. Mm. And I got the sense he's saying, take a look at the guy who put the roster together.
Yeah, he was.
He was a GM.
And that's not easy for those guys to do.
I don't think, Rhea, he's a huge fan of Klentak.
He doesn't like the team.
It was interesting to me what Jim didn't say as much as what he did.
What do you mean?
Just some of the pauses in the questions that you asked.
Mm.
And trying to answer the questions carefully about Kapler and Klentak. It doesn't seem like he's very impressed with either of them.
The plot thickens.
But that's just my take on it.
888. I think you're on the right track there. 888-729-9494.
I'm a woman. I read into everything.
Are you Italian people? Don't leave. We're still trying to figure out if we should be insulted by being called a Fredo. I'm not even sure I should be saying the word.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. We're Italians when we didn't even know it was a slur.
No.
We'll get some answers on that. And Jake from Collingswood has some thoughts out on the Phils right now. I don't think it's going to be positive. WIP Sports Time 9:16.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.